class, and you know, but if you get a chance this week, read Matthew 6 and John 6 together and see the parallel between the both of them, and you know, just communion, what it is, and the Lord saying, you know,
Matthew 6 and John 6.
If you don't need of me, you ain't got nothing to do with me.
The whole chapter, or
yes, ma'am, just the
whole chapter, Matthew 6 and John 6.
And see how they just so beautifully work together. But Psalms 119, and we're in the 20th. Well, we're in verse 153, but it's the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that letter is Resh. Resh, R-E-S-H. And it is a picture of a head of a man. A head of a man. We're going to come back to that. And its meaning is first, or the top, or the beginning. First, top, or beginning. Resh. And it parallels with the word Rosh. You know how you have Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of the year. This is Resh, and we're going to see the difference here in a minute. But it says, starting in 153, it says, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law or your word. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. You know, Miss Mary should have talked about that quickening this morning. And the word will do it. It will quicken your mortal body by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. You know, anybody ever been that up there in life and you remember back before you got down again, you know, you really just didn't think about God or you know, and it was far from you. But thank God for Jesus. For
Amen.
Great are thy tender mercies,
Amen.
O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. You know, I kind of looked up the great transgression or transgressor, and you know, it has to do with a religious system. You know, these people, you know, in churches, and they'll fall after a religious system, but they don't no more obey the word or do the word or. You know, they just have their own little format, so to speak. You know, that's a transgression.
That's what Jesus was coming against, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thank God for the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, this is what we want to key on here. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
So from the beginning of the word is truth.
Yes,
so I got thinking about Genesis here, and we just kind of look over that, and I'll just read through some of these. Chapter 1, it says, and God said, and God called, and God said, and God made, and God called, and God called, and God said, and God said, and God made, and God said. But he spoke all these things in to existence, earth, world, everything we see. And you know, as I walk outside, you know, it talks about him making everything, and you see the skies, and you go look at the ocean, and fish, and everything. You know, it don't take a whole lot to believe that the Lord made all those things. You know, there they are, bingo, right there in your face, the sun and the moon. Yes, ma'am.
Just want to read a slightly, it means the same, but it makes it more clear. It says, the sum total of all of your words add up to absolute truth.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And I remember Jesus said, but let's look over here in Genesis chapter 3, talking about the end, the devil. And, you know, Genesis chapter 3, 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, and tricking Adam and Eve there, cursed above all cattle and above every beast of field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And let's go on in here. It says in verse 22, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, no good and evil, and lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden at the Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. But anyway, Jesus, the Lord here, prophesied of the enemy's defeat.
Exactly.
He said, I'm going to crush his head.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But this word resh, let's go back to resh. Resh is the head of man.
Mm-hmm.
Rosh was the head of the enemy, the snake. Three different words, resh and rosh. But I thought that kind of neat. Even going back to the beginning, we have, you know, from the Psalms here, the defeat of the enemy. The Lord, you know, delivering us from the enemy, you know, through him. And
thank you, Lord. Thank you.
From the end, from the beginning.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But anyway, I was thinking about this flaming sword, you know. The Bible talks about this sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. He is talking about keeping the way to life. And, you know, it's the Holy Spirit and flame that draws us near to the way of life that we may begin the true life. You know?
Amen.
But
I love the way words and sword. S-W-R-D.
That's good right there.
I had neither to just now.
Boom. Holy Ghost, girl.
But, you know, it's gone all back, go back to the garden if you read Revelation, you know, there to Ephesus, the first church he speaks to in Ephesus there. He talks about them eating of the tree of life, you know. And I thought, you know, you're just talking about the end from the beginning. I mean, all this just kind of so blends and so perfect. And, you know, we're just really going to go back to the beginning with the Lord. But we just have a couple more.
Because there's no time eventually with us, so.
You know, we just got a couple more to go in this. And the last one, I'm going to kind of give you, kind of set you up for this. I want you to read the last one and kind of meditate on it in the next couple of weeks, the top. And, you know, I won't go into detail and get there, but, you know, right when I...
Are you skipping one?
No, I'm just kind of...
2 weeks, you said 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a couple more.
You set your mind up for it.
Yeah, so it's the last one you want to
see. Yeah, the last one, you know, this thing don't turn out like you think it should turn out. And I had to pray and ask the Lord about that. And the Lord told me what it was all about. But if you read this thing and see there at the beginning, or at the end there, you think, and your mind just goes tilt because it just don't make sense. it don't make sense how this man backslides, this man who so loved God in the scriptures here, and then he's kind of like he's backsliding there in the last. But anyway, come on, brother.
Have a good day.
Lord our God is moving by his spirit.
Amen.
You know, God is always in motion. And he can say things and cause you to see things you never saw before.
Amen.
I wouldn't want, just like what Ray was saying, and at the end of the class, Deborah was saying, put the big rocks in the jar first. Amen. When you receive the revelation for the day, you can make... Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be done. That's the first step. And when you're receiving, when you're continually receiving revelation from the Lord, you won't even have mistakes. You won't have as many mistakes in your life. He always helped me to see what was coming. And sometimes, even though he warned me it was going to come, when it come, I had a reference for it, and sometimes I'd be so surprised, and sometimes I say, Lord, I remember the Lord warned me that this was coming, and you know what to do. You have the knowledge of what to do and how to use your faith.
You remember I said he had told me, if you spend more time with me, mm-hmm. I'll spend less time getting you out of trouble and more time keeping you out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good.
Yeah. And I know he's good that way. He was teach. There's no limits. He'll teach you all kind of things. But first, you have to be like David. When things didn't go right, most people just pass it off as God's will, and it's not. David said, "Why is this, Lord? Why do we have this drought? What started it?" He wanted to kill it. I don't believe in letting problems, the same problem, rag my life the rest of my life, lingering. Problems. I said, Lord, I ask him in a heartbeat, Lord, what's going on? Why do I keep doing the same thing? Why does this keep happening?
Sorry.
And then that's all right. And then he would, the answers that he would give, it's over the top. That's what caused me to make a vow I made. I said, Lord, I keep having the same problem in business and I don't know what to do. And he told me what to do. And I forgot what he said. I practiced it. I used that information. But what he said next took all of my attention. Now, in those days, in 88, I did those things and made my business better. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do whatever you say. I finally got to a point where I said, I wrote God a blank check. If you can write God a blank check with your life, you can follow him. If you do that, he will help you organize your life and put it together for you. But one problem is, I'm gonna get to this now. Before last week, I was gonna teach this last week, but a few days before that, the Lord he brought some things out in chapter 3 of 1 John. This is 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 1. But before I do that, I'm going to read this. Okay. This caught my attention this morning. This is by Annette Capps, and I love Charles Capps. He taught me how to speak. I already knew English, but he taught me how to speak faith. And that's the.
And you know who else he taught how to speak faith? Abraham. He said, don't say this, Abraham. Say this.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to teach him.
And he... Mm-hmm. She was raised by him, so I'm sure she's a good woman of faith. This is page 26 if you have this book, but she said, in order to change your circumstances or anything in your life, you first go to the controlling beliefs in your life. Your heart and your words must agree to produce the kind of mountain-moving words Jesus said we could have. But believers that, and then she started in the middle of Mark 11. She said, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And that's always the case. Just because you have faith, it doesn't mean it'll work. You have to release it. You have to speak it. And you can't have doubt with it. And anything that produces doubt, you have to drive it out. Just like the Canaanites. You drive out everything of Satan out of your life. And you will adopt a faithful disposition instead of a doubtful disposition. He said, she's continuing, she said, Do you sincerely hold the belief that your words can change, demolish, I like that word, or heal that which exists and create that which does not exist? If you don't believe that you are as powerful as Jesus said, then why not? Is it because you feel unworthy, less than, or inferior? Where did this belief come from? Your schoolmates, parents, siblings? If you hold negative thoughts and beliefs, then you must discover them and change your beliefs. Until you uncover the hidden beliefs that control your life, you will not be able to operate in the kind of power Jesus said we have. Mm-hmm. So when you follow him, he will help make the word real to you. He knows you and how you process. And he'll prescribe the scripture. You have to go and read it and receive the revelation. Reading it alone doesn't mean you receive it. You have to believe it as you read it. Mm-hmm. That's how you receive it in your heart. Then you'll have faith for it. And you'll speak it and it'll work. If the enemy is driven out of your life, it's because you drove him out. He's not going to leave on his own.
Amen. You know, he told Joshua, meditate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not just read, but meditate. And then in one, he told Timothy to study.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Study involved meditate. It involved all of it.
Yeah.
So,
from last week in Psalm 119:147, mm-hmm. it says, before the day dawns, I'll be crying out for your help. And he said, and wrapping your words into my life.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta stir. Wrapping.
Yeah.
We gotta stir.
You have
stir
to,
it in.
Yeah, you have to do that. And this is the groundwork. These are the big rocks that will cause everything else to work. Seeking first the kingdom of God. And receive, if you're going to live without the revelation that God can be giving you, you're not getting that far. It's impossible. And if you do, you did real good on your own.
Also, I would say this too, you have to undo the negative words that you spoke about yourself too.
Yeah. You
have to undo that.
Yeah. The old things have to be undone so that you can receive. It will hinder you. That's what she's saying. It'll hinder you from receiving true information. And people are getting pride and argue against true information like the Pharisees did. And they'll never grow and they'll never produce fruit and
speak evil of you.
Yeah.
Then the accuser of the brethren will, which is Satan himself, will use their words and try to get you.
Mm-hmm.
But Colossians chapter 3 kills that.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the handwriting, the ordinances on the wall, mm-hmm. everything that was spoken about us is nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
And the blood of Jesus
Amen.
Annuls it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been applying that every day.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Been applying it every day.
I remember Lynn Lawson said something. He was the pastor at the church in Gardendale. He said things were just going crazy. Things just wasn't going right. And he was quickened by the Holy Spirit because he just made a confession. He said, every evil witchcraft word spoken against his ministry is dead in Jesus' name, and everything's smoothed out. Because the words that people speak,
yes,
you know,
they go and accomplish.
They do.
They do.
That was a lie when they said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words do help hurt
they
you.
They have faith behind their evil mm-hmm. words, just like we have faith for
yes, ma'am.
Our mm-hmm. good words. But the other thing you were talking about,
they believe the natural.
Yeah, about pride.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the worst job imaginable, other than
than shoveling behind an elephant at the zoo, that might have been a little worse than where I was. But anyway, it might have been a little worse.
That's rough right there.
But one day,
I had to job.
One day I went to the conference room and I just cried. I said, God, I can't help myself. My Bible that I had then is all torn apart because I would literally stand on it. I said, God, I can't help myself. There's nothing I can do to get me out of here. The job market sucked. Mm-hmm. It was just awful.
But you were working.
And, I mean, it was like 11, 12 years ago, and my credit rating was in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people look at that. But when I said that, and then a friend came to me and she said, you need to repent. I know they're treating you horribly. She says, but God's not interested in their behavior. He's interested in your
behavior. Yes, ma'am. Boy, is that good.
Yes, ma'am.
And then he came and he said, you know, these are baby Christians. Babies are messy. You try to help them, they bite you, they bite you, they scratch you. He says, but you and the true Christian, I expect more from you. So I repented, and in 3 months, I had a better job with a 40% increase.
Come on.
Yeah, that's
I'm just saying, it comes down to just wiping away pride, which is saying that I can help myself. I couldn't help myself.
That's the root of everything is pride.
That's the hard way.
To the point of saying, God, I can't help. I don't know what to do. I'm stupid.
Well, when you realize that it's not by your, nothing's by your might or power.
No,
the only thing you do the work, you know, but the attitude behind your motives, everything, the Lord will correct that and make your efforts count. When people get, if you have those revelations, the revelation of love, the Lord can work through you and secure the whole thing.
Yes, ma'am. He gives grace.
According to 1 Peter chapter 1.
Once I started, stopped praying against those people and started praying for them.
Love them anyway.
It was like 3 months. I'm not talking about all work.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I had to change. He was interested in their behavior.
Yeah. He does that. He'll help you get what you can change. He'll help you change it, and it will change everything around.
Yes.
Now, there's something that's going on. There are limitations. Limitations don't just come out of the air. They come from belief systems. The enemy was terribly defeated by the first apostles and the early church. And he realized that he had to do something against it permanently to stop it. So he weeded in false doctrines. And I'm going to kill one of them this morning. Because if a person don't get this right, a lot of things are going to be out of order, and God don't build on a weak foundation. If you try to build on a weak foundation, you're wasting your time and your life, and you're going to have some sad days ahead.
Yes, sir.
If we can receive the revelation that John left us with, he wrote this in his older age after being anointed for a very long time. He walked with Jesus. He taught the word of God. He's much older now. His anointing has increased. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let's consider that for a moment. Now you went from being a sinner to now a son of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Anytime you see him as he is, you're going to increase. When you see him face to face, you will increase. But you can do that today by the word, by receiving the word of God, not just reading it and learning it, but receiving it. He said, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as we are pure. Now watch this. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Jesus did a good job of destroying our sin. Now it's up to us to receive what he's done and enforce it. Now this is what God brought back to me. I read across this, and the way people interpret it has never sat well in my heart. And the Lord gave me some clarity. He said, whosoever abideth in him sins not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him. neither known him. I'm gonna come back to verse 6. He said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now watch verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the way cold religion teaches is you won't continue to sin. You won't habitually sin. But that's not what he's saying. He said, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. In other words, the word of God that you, after having a washed, after you've been washed in the blood, whatever part of God's word you receive in your heart, the revelation of it, you will not sin. If you receive that revelation and embrace it, and you make it a part of you, you're not going to sin. You're not going to choose to sin. It's just not going to happen. You are not going to. Satan would have to tempt you and aggravate you, and you still won't sin. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. In verse 6 he said, whosoever abideth in him sins not. So if you're abiding in him, you're receiving good information. And you can kill the bad information. Your heart, your first love, I've never seen people who willfully sin with a first love. In the area that if they receive the knowledge of the truth, they just not, while they're strong, they're just not going to do it. They have to be tempted. They have to, the word, something else has to be in their heart for them to go forward with that. Now, what he's saying right here gives us the advantage. If we receive the knowledge of his word in that area of life, you're going to win and not fail. When Henry Gruber had stage 5 cancer, he said he continually studied the word of God and received it in his heart until he had his victory. When he would study and the enemy would aggravate him or give him a thought, he'd go back and start all the way over until he captured the word in his heart. And then he kept believing for his healing. And the students prayed for him, and he got his healing, and he got his weight back. He fought the good fight. He didn't quit. You don't have to quit. And the doctor said, I don't know why you're alive. This is how far we can go if we have to. But you don't, when people say, well, you won't habitually sin, well, you have to do something about a problem. They don't just fade away. This represents everything off Satan. When you abide in the Lord and he reveals things to you, you can put it in your heart and it'll be in your heart, and you can live from that word, and you won't have any desire to sin. You're not going to. Job didn't sin. He wasn't even washed in the blood yet, and he never cursed God to his face. He defeated Satan, and Satan did his best work against Job, and it didn't work. Why? Because he received the words of God. He held fast to what he already knew. Even if there's something you're unskilled at, what you know about God can help you in the areas where you're not skilled. Remember, he didn't know what was going on. He couldn't read chapter 1 and 2. He just experienced it. He wrote that after he had a great conversation with the Lord. Then the Lord explained to him what happened. Then he wrote the whole book. So when you, when people say you won't continue to sin, or sin is a choice. When David sinned, he said,
"That's good."
He
said,
"Sin is always a choice.
Amen.
It's not an accident. Mm-hmm. It's a choice." David said, "Only against you have I sinned." He confessed to the Lord, "I sinned against you. I sinned against your people." He didn't see his ways. Our ways.
Say that again. Sin is a what?
A choice.
Choice. Let's get that in our. We choose to sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to really get that in our mind,
mm-hmm,
to know that we choose to sin. Mm-hmm. That means you don't have to. You make the choice.
He also made the choice, too, because, see, he knew that the women at that certain time would go up on the rooftop to bathe. And he chose not to go to war, which he was supposed to have been. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. When kings go to war, he stayed home.
In the wrong place.
He was mm-hmm. in the wrong. He chose that, though. Mm-hmm. And he chose to keep looking at that woman every night, mm-hmm. naked. And he chose.
Mm-hmm. It starts small, just like faith does.
It's not first.
And that's where he was the weakest at.